Well, I've got a question to begin this morning. It's a very simple question that should have a very simple answer, but it's one that a great many people find extremely difficult to answer. And maybe you'll find it difficult to answer this morning. You don't have to answer out loud, don't worry. Just answer in your own mind. But I do want you to answer the question in your own mind. Here's the question for every one of us this morning. Are you a good person? Are you a good person? That's the question I want us to think about, and that's the question I want us to answer this morning, because that's the question, ultimately, that I think Jesus is raising and answering in the passage that we read together earlier from Luke chapter 6. Are you a good person? Am I a good person? As I was reflecting on this question earlier, I began to think about not just how I would answer the question, but how others answer the question. I think probably the majority of people in Britain today answer this question differently from the way that Jesus would have us answer this question. Not only so, I suspect that getting the answer to this question wrong is probably the number one reason why people do not put their trust in Jesus Christ. I really believe that. I really believe that getting the answer to this question wrong, the question, am I a good person? Getting the answer to that question wrong is the number one reason why people do not put their trust in Jesus Christ. And here's the reason. If we answer that question by any other answer than a simple no, then not only are we going against what Jesus says here in this chapter, we'll explore that in a moment, but we're also ensuring that we see no real need of Jesus at all. Because Jesus tells us that he has come in order to seek sinners. He's come in order to save sinners. And if we don't see ourselves as that, if we see ourselves as a good person rather than as a sinner, then we'll see no need of Jesus, no need really to be saved, no real need for the cross, no real need for the atonement, no need for any of that. Because ultimately, we might say, I'm a good person. And if we feel we're a good person, we'll see no need of Christ. And I really do believe that this is the number one reason in this country why people do not put their trust in Jesus Christ, because they get the answer to this question wrong. Am I a good person? Most people get the answer to that question wrong. And what Jesus does in the passage that we read together earlier, that was Luke chapter 6, verses 41 through to 49 on page 911. What Jesus does in that section is he issues three challenges to those people who would not answer no to the question, am I a good person? You see, Jesus wants us to answer no to that question. He wants us to understand that we are not good people. And he wants us to see it as simply as that. And if we struggle with that, if we want to say, well, hang on a minute, I might not be perfect, but I'm not that bad. Or we might want to say, well, I might do some bad things, but at heart, I think I'm a good person. That's how many, many people would answer that question. If that's how our instinct is to answer the question, then Jesus issues us with three challenges in these verses. And all we're going to do this morning is to look at each of those challenges and to see why Jesus says what he does. Why does Jesus conclude what he does? Why does he think that ultimately all of us are not good people? That's our question for this morning, and these three challenges that Jesus issues will help us with that. So here's the first challenge, and this is coming from verse 41 and 42 of Luke chapter 6 on page 911. Here's the first challenge. Don't compare yourself to others, Jesus says. Don't compare yourself to others. Look at verses 41 and 42. Last time we were in Luke chapter 6, we covered these verses then, but they help us again this morning, so we're going back over them briefly. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? A little bit of dust, a tiny little splinter, as it were, in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye. Well, how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that's in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye. Now, Jesus' meaning is very plain here, isn't it? What Jesus is saying, we know through our own experience as well. And here's what Jesus is saying. It is much easier to see the faults in other people than it is to see your own faults. Every single one of us here this morning knows that from our own experience. It's easy to see the faults in other people than it is to see the faults in ourselves. We criticize, perhaps silently in our own heart, perhaps sometimes to people's face, perhaps sometimes behind people's backs, but we criticize others for things that we ourselves make the same mistakes. And we criticize others for things that are, well, frankly, not as bad as things that we do all of the time. We compare ourselves to others. And when we compare ourselves to others, guess what? Most of the time, we come out on top. Most of the time, we compare ourselves favorably to others. Why do we do that? Well, Jesus is clear. We do that not because we're better than others. We do that because we're hypocrites. And if we're hypocrites, well, as far as Jesus is concerned, actually, that's one of the worst sins. Hypocrisy. That puts us right at the bottom of the pile if we're hypocrites. But you see, this is what we keep on doing. We keep on comparing ourselves with others. And if we look around and find somebody who's exceptionally good, and perhaps even we realize, well, we don't measure up to that standard, then we'll kind of put them to one side. We'll ignore that fact as best as we can. We'll pretend that that person's an exception, and we'll find some other people who, in our view, we're better than, and we'll compare ourselves to them instead. Somebody once did a survey, and they found that something like 80% of drivers thought that they were better than the average driver. Well, of course, only 50% of people could be better than the average driver, but 80% of people, roughly, thought that they were better than the average driver. I wonder how many of us would be in the 80%. Probably most of us. But maybe we're just being a hypocrite. You see, Jesus says here, if we compare ourselves with other people, we'll get a false impression of ourselves. So if we want to answer the question, am I a good person? What Jesus is saying here is we cannot answer that question by comparing ourselves with other people, because we can't be objective about that. And because we can't be objective about that, it's no good doing comparisons. We mustn't compare ourselves to others. If we're going to be able to answer the question, am I a good person, we need to do that without comparing ourselves with other people. We need some other criteria. We need to be objective. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's his first challenge to us. Don't compare yourself to others, Jesus says. And then he comes up with his second challenge. This time it's in verse 43 through to 45. His first challenge was don't compare yourselves to others. His second challenge now is don't make excuses for your bad behavior. Don't make excuses for your bad behavior. What Jesus does in verses 43 through 45 is actually quite remarkable and really does get to the heart of our false impression of ourselves. Here's what Jesus says. This is a real challenge, I'm sure, to every one of us. Verse 43. A good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. I'm just going to stop there for a moment. A good tree doesn't bear bad fruit. nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Now, you and I probably, by our instinct, have a real problem with what Jesus is saying here. Because, of course, he's not just talking about trees. The trees are an illustration to talk about our hearts. That's very clear from what follows in verse 45. So here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, a good person does not do bad things. And a bad person does not do good things. That's what Jesus is saying. And you and I really struggle with that, don't we? Because when we look at ourselves, we conclude this most of the time. We conclude, well, I'm not perfect. But I don't think I'm a bad person. I'm a good person who sometimes does bad things. I think if you were to ask people across the country, do they agree with that statement? I'm a good person who occasionally does bad things, or who sometimes does bad things. The vast majority of people would say, well, yeah, that's true of me. I think I'm a good person, but yeah, if I'm honest, I do bad things sometimes. But Jesus says, no. Jesus says, a good person doesn't do bad things, and a bad person doesn't do good things. If you do bad things, Jesus is saying, then you're a bad person. You're an evil person, according to the words of verse 45. That's what he's saying. And you and I probably really don't like that. We probably fight against that. Because what you and I want to do is we want to make excuses for our bad behavior. We want to say that our bad behavior is the exception. We want to say that our bad behavior is not normally like that. Most of the time we're good, and it's just occasionally that we're bad. And that doesn't mean that we're bad people. That's just an aberration. That's the exception. But Jesus says no. If we do bad things, then we're bad people. It's as black and white as that. And we probably don't want it to be black and white. Because we know that we're not white. And those shades of grey that we see in ourselves, we want to be able to say, well, those shades of grey, it's mostly white with only a little black. Jesus is saying, no. We can't make excuses for our bad behaviour. We can't say that our bad behaviour really comes from a good heart. We can't say that, Jesus says. As far as he's concerned, it's no good. Let's say we've had an argument with a loved one. And in the heat of the moment, we've said some things that now we regret. And we apologize, perhaps, eventually, for the things that we've said. And we make an excuse. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. But actually, the reason things we say are so hurtful is because in the moment, we did mean it. We might not say or mean it now, but then we did mean it. And our heart was exposed for what it was. And we said something painful. Something deliberately hurtful. Something wicked and evil. Jesus says, do you know why you said that? You said it because evil speech comes from an evil heart. You said it because your heart was evil. That's what Jesus says very clearly in verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You see, we like to make excuses for our bad behavior. But Jesus says, no excuses. Your bad behavior is because of your bad heart. My bad behavior is because of my bad heart. That's Jesus' challenge to us. And that's why, you see, when Jesus poses the question, are you a good person? He expects you to answer honestly and to answer that question by saying, no, I wish I was. You might even say, I often try to be. But ultimately the answer to that question, am I a good person, is no. Because I mustn't compare myself to others. And I mustn't make excuses for my own bad behavior. But there's a third challenge still that Jesus offers, this time in verses 46 through to 49. And this third challenge of Jesus is this. He says, don't forget that it's the foundation that matters most. Don't forget it's the foundation that matters most. You see, in verse 46 through to 49, Jesus tells a parable. He tells a story. It's not a true story. It's a made-up story that Jesus tells in order to get across a spiritual point. And he begins this story with a question. It's in verse 46. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? He's already referred, as we saw earlier, to hypocrites, hasn't he, in verses 41 and 42. And here he's saying, as he's speaking to these people, there are some people, he's saying, who follow me, or at least who say they follow me, but they don't actually do what I say. They call me Lord, but they don't do what I say. And the tragedy of Luke chapter 6 is that's still true today. There are many millions of people in this country who would call Jesus Lord, who would say, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, but they don't actually do what he says. And Jesus wants to challenge us on this. And he says, well, how will you know what such a person is like? How will you know whether you're a hypocrite or whether you're really following the Lord Jesus? And verse 47 helps us with that. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you what he's like. So Jesus is about to say, I'll show you what a true follower of Jesus is like. I'll show you what someone is like who really does have Jesus as Lord and who knows Jesus as Lord. I'll show you, in other words, what a true Christian is like. And I'll show you with a story. The story is a very well-known one. So a true Christian, a true follower of Jesus, is like a man builds a house. And this particular man, verse 48, digs down deep and lays a foundation on the rock. And what happens then is when a flood rises, the stream beats vehemently against the house and doesn't shake it, for it's on the rock. But somebody who's a hypocrite, somebody who says, Jesus, you're my Lord, but then doesn't do what Jesus says, he's like, verse 49, a man who builds his house on the earth without a foundation. The same stream comes, but this time the house falls, and the ruin of that house was great. So it's a very simple story. Two men, two houses, one storm. There's many things that we can learn from this story. But what I want to emphasize right at the beginning is what makes the difference here is not the house. What makes the difference here is the foundation. Can you see that from the story very plainly? He doesn't tell us that the first man's house was a much better built house. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that the first man, when he was building his house, he really used the best materials and the best plans and the best of everything. And the other man, he used cheap materials. He doesn't say that. It says simply that the difference between the two houses, the only difference between the two houses that we're told of, is that the foundation was different. That's why I'm saying that Jesus' third challenge is don't forget that the foundation matters most. It's the foundation that matters. And you see, as we're thinking about this question, am I a good person? What Jesus is saying to us is, well, look at the foundation. Because that's what really matters. But most of us, what we do when we're answering the question is we look at the house. We look at what we've built. And we compare our house, as it were, to the house of other people. And we might say, oh, well, if you look at our house, we've got these lovely windows on our house. Those people don't have those lovely windows. And we've got this great chimney and this lovely tiled roof, and those other people, they've just got a flat roof. Our house is better than their house. That's what we say metaphorically with our lives. In other words, we look at the external. We look at the things that we can see. We look at the things that perhaps are better in our life than they are in other people's life, and we say, well, I'm better than them. I don't know what it is that you're maybe proud of in your own life. Maybe things that you would perhaps think of as better than others. Maybe you would say, well, I'm not somebody who loses my temper like that person loses their temper. Therefore, my life is better than their life. I'm a good person and they're not. Or you might say, well, I'm somebody who comes to church every week, and those people over there, they don't come to church every week. So I'm a better person than those people. I'm a good person, and maybe those aren't. That's what we do. We don't like admitting that's what we do, but very often it's what we do. And what we're doing is we're looking at the house. We're looking at what's been built. And here's what Jesus says. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've built. It doesn't matter whether you've built a calm temper. It doesn't matter whether you've built going to church. It doesn't matter whether you've built saying your prayers. It doesn't matter whether you've built being kind. It doesn't matter whether you've built generosity. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It's the foundation that really matters. That's Jesus' point. It's the foundation that really matters. And guess what? When we're looking at other people's houses, most of the time we can't tell what the foundation is like. We don't know. And when we're looking at other people's lives, very often we won't know what the foundation is like. You see, what really matters is hidden, Jesus says. What really matters won't always be tested, Jesus says. And therefore there will be many people who will be able to give the impression that they're good people, that they've built good houses. But actually the foundation is all wrong. Maybe non-existent. And therefore the house actually is no good at all. It's not a good house. Not a good person. It's the foundation that matters most. When we were in Israel last year, I've mentioned before that we witnessed a few flash floods. Incredible how quickly the water can stream down a valley with really very little rain. And what tends to happen is that the water streams down the valley, washes away things in front of it. We saw this for ourselves with roads being blocked and so on, with very, very little rain and all of the soil and so on being swept down the hillside. But then what's often left in these dry valleys is all the sediment then settles down once the flood has gone. And with the hot weather that often comes, the sediment kind of bakes itself into something like a hard clay, which to the touch is very solid. But as soon as it gets wet, it turns into mush. So somebody who perhaps didn't understand the geology and the climate might think that they were building a house on rock. But actually it's just this sediment that when the storms come, will wash away. And you've got to dig through that mud, through that sediment, to get down onto the real rock that won't wash away at all. And the people that Jesus was speaking to will be very familiar with this. They'd understand what Jesus was saying. But what is he saying to us? What's the spiritual point that he's making? Well, the spiritual point that he's making is very straightforward. He's saying that there's a tendency for all of us, perhaps, to build our homes, to build our lives, just on muck and mud. Just on dirt. That's what we do. But no, we've got to dig away all that. We've got to build instead on the rock. But what does that mean? Well, again, Jesus' readers would have been very familiar with the answer. Because they know their Bibles, their Old Testaments, and they will have known that very often in the Old Testament, God calls himself the rock. He is the rock. Christ picks up that metaphor. The early church picks up that metaphor and applies it to Christ as well. He is the rock. We sing, don't we, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And that's what Jesus is saying here very plainly. We might build so-called good works, but if we build our good works on the mud and muck of our lives, when the real test comes, then all our good works will just crumble and fall, and they'll crumble to dust. The only way in which our lives, our houses, as it were, can be sustained is if they're built on the rock of Jesus Christ. So there's a question for us, isn't there, as we close. How do we do that? You see, so far Jesus has been asking the question, are you a good person? And his answer to that question is, well, actually that's the wrong question. The much better question is, do I have the right foundation? Do I have the right foundation? That's really the question. So let me ask it to you. Do you have the right foundation? What's the bedrock of your life? What is your life built on? Now realize, I'm not asking here, are there a few bricks in your house that have got church or Jesus or religion or the Bible on them? I'm not asking that. I'm not asking if there's religious things, Christian things in your house. That's not the question at all. The question, very simply, is what's the foundation? What's everything built on? What's the most important thing? What is it that you ultimately set your hope on? What is it ultimately that bears you up and keeps you going? What is it ultimately? Is it faith in Christ? Is Christ your rock? Are you built on him? Or are you built on the muck and the mud of the things that we've tried to do? The muck and the mud will never keep you, but Christ will never let you down. And if you want your home built on the rock, on Christ Jesus, the Bible's very clear about all that we need to do. The Bible's very clear. We put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ. We acknowledge very simply that my good works will never get me into heaven. My good works will never serve as a foundation that I can build on. We confess, in other words, our sin. We confess that at root we're bad people. Not good people, but we're bad people. And we recognize that Christ alone is good. He lived the life that we could never live. Of course, he died the death that we deserve. And by trusting in Christ's righteous life, and entrusting to his atoning death that clears away that mud of our life, by trusting in his life and in his death, we come to find that our house can be built on the solid rock. If you don't do that, maybe you'll get away with it, just like this foolish man did. Maybe other people might look and think, they've got a good house. They're a good person. They give to charity. They don't lose their temper. They don't speed too much. They don't cheat other people. Maybe other people will think that of you. But a day will come, Jesus says, when a true test will find out whether or not there really is a solid foundation. And on that day, any house that's not built on Christ will fall. And the ruin of that house will be great. What a terrible day it will be when Jesus Christ returns from glory and this great flood rises and all those whose lives are not built on Christ will discover that all their bricks and all their good works actually come to nothing. Don't let that person be you. Make sure that your trust is in Christ and in Christ alone.